You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's So You Think You Can Dance After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's So You Think You Can Dance After Show.
All right, you guys, Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another show of So You Think You Can Dance, Season 10. It is Episode 12, and I am not AJ Gibson. He is, unfortunately, under the weather. We miss you. We hope to see you back next week. I'm Kristen Burt. I'll be your host tonight, and we've got an exciting show for you tonight. So let me introduce everyone. To my right, Chloe West.
Hi, Kristen. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to be next to you again.
I know. I love it.
I know. I'm usually over there, but over across the table is Jake Dupree.
Hi, I'm Jake Dupree.
And our very exciting guest. And, you know, if I introduce it, we'll be here all day long. But let's see. A 2012 Emmy nominee, Broadway performer, a choreographer. Oh, he choreographed for the Dizzy Feet Foundation Gala this weekend. Oh, and So You Think You Can Dance choreographer. And countless Broadway shows, everything from Big, Equus, 9 to 5, Wedding Singer, Crybaby. We've got Spencer Liff.
Woo! Glad to be back.
I know I missed like 8,000 other shows and credits, but we are so glad
so
to have
offended.
You.
You didn't read my whole resume on the air.
But, you know, you were here for the finale for season 9, and we are so glad to have you back. And this was such a big week for you.
Yeah, it was funny. You asked me a couple days ago to come on, and I was like, I think this is probably a good week for me to be on. But yeah, it was after my 5 seasons of choreographing. It was my first time stepping on stage last night, so.
How was that? Because we want to know if you could just give us a little bit of the timeline of Curtis's injury and sort of when you found out you were going on in his place.
Yeah, so we had on-camera rehearsals on Thursday, and we rehearsed on Friday. Saturday was Dizzy Feet. Sunday night we had a rehearsal, and he started to feel kind of iffy about his shoulder, so we went to the hospital. We thought it'd be fine. Monday is camera block, and he was in a sling. So we actually came up with 2 versions, one with me in the number and one with me not in the number. And then yesterday morning we showed up, and the specialist said that he was not able to lift anyone or dance for 2 weeks, and that was it. So they found me an outfit, and we went forward, and I went, oh, crap, I'm going to be up there with these guys. So it was kind of surreal and a little bit crazy, but I actually had, prior to me going on, I was having the most fun I've ever had on the show this week with this group and this number. And then it was kind of cool and in a very weird sort of way to be up there doing it. It was like a time warp. I was getting a taste of my own medicine.
No, but I think everyone really loved seeing you up there. And it was really interesting to hear from the judges after your number, just the comparison of, you know, the professional, the veteran, versus, you know, some of the younger dancers. But, you know, for them, maybe it was a little bit like, oh, they were looking at Spencer. But at the same time, it's also, I think, a really great lesson of what's out there once you hit the professional world.
Yeah. I mean, I was a little upset with that. I wish that was not the point of me dancing with them. Sure. I was up there to support with them. I got so close with this group this week. And, you know, I got 10 years on those kids, and I've been dancing for a long time. And it's my choreography. So, like, yeah, I'm going to do really good at it.
But those, feels good to you.
Those boys were amazing in that number, and I think they both had really strong week doing it, and then the girls are phenomenal. So it was a little bit, I was like, why do we have to talk about that? Like, the number I thought was great, and it was so beautiful, and I think that I want them to do it again on the finale if Curtis is better and let him do it. And, like, that's my...
That would be awesome.
I think they should let him sip in, because he was killing it before, and I think he would have had a really great showing in that number. So,
you know, and Curtis is an interesting one. We all know there's no spoilers here. He went home. And it's unfortunate when you go home and you don't get the opportunity to dance, because I do feel like Alexis really went out on a nice high, which I think is if you're going to go out, that's the way to do it. And I think he's such a young performer. He also hasn't grown into his body completely yet. Yeah. He's still got that young boyish frame, and, you know, he doesn't have his man muscles yet. And it's true, though, but I think he's going to see such a growth and a maturity just from being on this show that I'm kind of excited to see what he does next.
Yeah. He impressed me. I wasn't expecting much from him in the room, and I thought, oh, okay, I like like the other two boys, and I don't know about him. And then he really stepped up to the plate, and like everything I asked him to do, like he didn't know how to do a kip up, he didn't know how to do a back extension, and he learned it immediately. Or said like, okay, sir, I'll come back in tomorrow and I'll know how to do it. And like that's exactly what the show's about. So it kind of crushed me that this happened to him this week, but it's happened to the best of them. I mean, it's happened to, you got Alex Wong's, you got all these people.
I know.
But it's a lesson to the kids on the show and to dancers in general. You have to take care of your body. It's everything. And you can't, you have to do your cool downs and you have to take care of yourself and your Epsom salt baths and all that stuff to make sure that you can perform.
And when you're 18, you're invincible. Yeah. And your body feels invincible. When you do get an injury, you're like, how did that happen?
Yeah. It's not different. Dancing 12 hours a day like they are right now.
Absolutely.
It's incredible. Got,
yeah. And, some of them still have a whole month or 6 weeks, I guess.
This is when it gets hard. This is when they start adding routines and we're getting to top 10. And like, this is when the cream rises to the top. Is that what they say?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can really tell right around now.
Yeah. And, you know, when I did the Dizzy Feet Foundation, I did the red carpet. It was interesting talking with Mary Murphy on the red carpet. She said one thing. She said, also what happens is you think it's so for sure, like Fiction and Amy are going to win. But once they break them up as partners mm-hmm. and have them start dancing with All Stars, different things start to happen.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So, it's going to be really interesting next week when Nico has a new partner.
Yep.
Because I'm really interested to see.
Nico and Haley are going to be
good. It's
going to
be so
they're
going to
be good.
Their
together.
Body types are very good together, I think, too.
They
and he's
are.
So athletic that I can't wait to really see it. Somebody like really, like, I mean, even how you showed his athleticism in the dance this week, you know, mm-hmm. I can't wait to even see him with a partner who's just as strong as he is. Yeah. And not that, you know, Alexis was really athletic and really great, but it's going to be really interesting to see someone who sort of isn't within his dance style.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good matchup. All right, let's get into the show. Just talk really briefly about the opening number. I just want to say I really enjoyed it, and it was an interesting choreographic partnership between Sonia Taya and Dimitri Chaplin.
When you were watching it, were you guys like, wait, is this ballroom? Or is this contemporary?
They called it contempadoble.
Contempadoble.
That was the official.
What I love is that Dimitri, the last time we saw him, he kind of got a scolding from Nigel. And, you know, as choreographers, you guys have to kind of take it, too, because you're being judged as well. But I love that he just was like, took the note. I know he wrote it out on Twitter. I get it. I understood what he was saying. And he's back, and he's back with a vengeance. So I think that was good. All right, well, let's move into our judges for the week, Nigel, Mary, and, of course, my girl crush, Anna Kendrick.
I was freaking out. I was so excited.
Does everyone have a crush on her? I'm pretty sure it's, like, kind of universal.
She's just amazing.
After
she's
the show this week, especially, because you're like, oh, yeah, I like her. She's really fun. And then you really see her own personality as a judge, and you're like, she's really like that in real life. Oh, now I love her.
She's quirky. She's a really weird girl, and I mean this in the best sense. She's humorous. She's a Broadway baby. She's another one. She's been on Broadway since she was 8.
Like, I think she won a Tony when she was
she
a
did,
little.
Yeah.
And she'll be in the last 5 years, the movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot.
I didn't know that.
A lot going on. Yeah. I love
and
that.
Camp. I mean, I loved her since
camp. Oh, yeah. I went to that camp. I went to that camp as
a
kid.
Is that based on Stage Door?
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Stage Door Manor. Yeah, shout out. Yep. I was a camper. I went with Zach Braff. He was a friend of mine. Awesome. Yeah, so back in the day.
Zachy Poo.
I just name dropped. Boom. Oh, all right, let's get into the bottom six. I have to say I was a little surprised on the girls' side. The girls, Jasmine, Alexis, Mackenzie. Let's talk about those girls. Alexis, I don't think, was a surprise to at least us on the panel. Not to you either. Okay. Jasmine.
Shocker.
What? I know.
Shocker. This girl's a superstar.
I've worked with her. I mean, yeah, she blows me away. And she killed the quick step. I don't understand.
Went last, too. Usually, the people that go last don't usually get... They get more votes, I would think. But
Because they're
ridiculous.
Fresh in everyone's minds. Yeah. And then Mackenzie. And this has been the big question. Nigel brought it up. What aren't people seeing in Mackenzie?
There's two girls, and it's Jenna and Mackenzie, and all the choreographers do not understand because we were obsessed with both of them. Mm-hmm. And everyone that's worked with them then comes in and says, I love them. I don't understand. So I was ready to throw down the gauntlet I was wondering if Jenna was going to be in again. You know, she had that great Travis piece, but, I went to bat for Mackenzie as you do. You're just like, no, you can't let her go. She's too good. So
yeah.
And this is what I love this season. We've talked a lot about what sort of happens after the show and that you guys do give feedback and what happened in rehearsals and everything, which we don't necessarily get to see. We get the little highlights
I
reel.
Would love to see that.
Oh,
I would
gosh.
Love to see the choreographer
the
meeting.
War room that's going
it's
on
it's oh like my God. Sort of started to happen a little bit more over the years, but this year there's an official meeting that happens, you know, in Nigel's office, and we all sit down and he tells us the bottom and he really gets our feedback. And I think it's important. important. I mean, I think it's because he doesn't see them except for on the show and a little bit here and there, and we work with them for hours. And sometimes it's about who's really willing to grow and who we think is going to mature and who, you know, who is maybe not so great to work with.
Yeah, you do see attitudes. I mean, people get tired and then sometimes people get cranky, and it does happen in rehearsal, but it's important for the judges to know that feedback. And on Jenna, the note, we had Molly Gray last week, and she has worked with Jenna. She's known her for years, and she said she is such a hard worker in the studio. And I said, that's what we're not seeing as audience members, and that's why she's saved every single week, and that makes sense.
She is full out every single moment. And that's what you just, as a choreographer, you love, because you can see what it's meant to be. She gives everything to you at all times from the first step you give her. And so that's, I think, why all the choreographers have fallen in love with her. I don't understand what America's not seeing. But I will say that I didn't think as much of her until I got her in a room. So
good to know. So there you go. Because we were saying she's always fierce. She's always fierce. And I loved having the softness of Travis Wall's choreography last week. I just thought that helped her a lot. True.
I think her intensity probably comes off as a little bit something else to the viewer.
Intimidating,
maybe.
I think we were saying. But the solos, they made Alexis, of course, do her tap. I love watching her tap. I can watch her tap for days.
She's so good.
Her footwork's great. Especially because I'm not a tapper, so I'm always fascinated by it. And then Jasmine, I just can't keep my eyes off of her.
This is why the solos still exist. It's because of Jasmine's solo. Because you just see her as an artist in her own right, and the music she would pick, and how she wants to show herself. And it was beautiful. It was amazing.
I think I said last week, I can't wait for her to do a solo, just so I can see her move the way she wants to move. And it is sick.
And I think that's a good thing that she... Mm-hmm. That was the bonus of getting to be in the bottom. And I think even Nigel knew that by making her dance. Like, we've seen Mackenzie do it, and he said, America needs to see her do her solo, so you kind of understand what her movement quality is. But
she's exquisite. Boys, I don't really think much of the bottom three was a surprise to me. Alan, Curtis, and Nico. And judging by the way they didn't have anybody dance, I kind of was like, this is Curtis's exit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It made me a little sad.
You know, I think it's funny because it would have been all three bottom. The bottom three boys would have been in my number. It was all three of them that I had, which is very interesting. And I, you know, I think that I think I would have saved Curtis maybe over Alan had he danced based on In the Room, except that no one on that stage beats Alan as a partner. He really is such a strong partner. And I think that's kind of what saved him. And he also had a good, you know, he had a good week. And I think that Cha-Cha was good, and he was great in my piece. And I think just knowing that Curtis was not going to dance for 2 weeks, you couldn't.
What are you going to do? Yeah, it's not fair to everyone else. All right, well, let's get in into the dances here. We started off the night with Jenna and Tucker with the Luther Brown hip hop piece, and this one was kind of interesting because this is something that's really outside their wheelhouse, and I understand because if someone had asked me to do hip hop when I was dancing, I would have been like, this is what I would have looked like 10 times worse than either of them. I thought they did a good job. They made an attempt, but I wasn't sure if there was enough choreography for me to like really, was it not meaty enough for anyone else?
That's how I felt. I was like, they weren't for me. That moment whenever they were like, she was like twerking basically up on top of the speaker things. I thought that was the moment where I was like, oh yeah, that's what I want to see the entire time. But the whole time I was like, there was a lot of walking around.
Walking hose.
Yeah. For me, I was like, I don't want to see those two like walking around, like posing like for hip hop. Like that's not what I want to see from them.
What did you guys think of Tucker? Because I thought he really shined in this piece, which I was really shocked. I was not seeing him as like, oh yeah, Tucker's going to pull off hip hop really well.
I thought he held his own. I thought he brought like his own style to it. It wasn't like super hip hop, but it was like, there was something cool about the way he moved. I liked it.
With both of them, and I love this, and Mary pointed this out, their attack is always great. Even if it's like not their style, they're like, we're just going to go for it. Even if we don't, you know, we're not, it's not going to be our best piece compared to what they did last week. And I think that is at least, they know that this isn't going to be their, you know, highlight on their highlight reel, but.
I remember the last time they got hip hop, I remember thinking, oh God. And then I saw what it was and I thought, they are so lucky they didn't get Luther Brown. And then they did this week and I was like, oh, because that last hip hop like really played on the strengths of their sharpness and their quirkiness.
Yep.
And then they got this, which was that just had to be that full out like really street style, and it's not either of them. And they knew that, and they still threw it out there. And
that's what you have to do. Yeah, you just have to own it.
Tucker was about as good as I thought he would be, and you know, it would be like me. I wouldn't be any better doing that. I would look like a really white boy.
I'm just gonna say I would look awesome and, doing Annie Luther around him.
But I don't think like if you look back to like the Whitney and Twitch number. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Like. There wasn't much more choreography than that, but
she
like,
owned the hell
but
out
they
of
did. She's also was with Twitch, but she killed that number. I mean,
that's true. That is true.
I think that she did that better than Sorry Mariah. Than like, I think she danced that hip hop number better than Mariah did, and that's in her own style
for
like,
sure.
Whitney killed that. But.
Yeah, Whitney is always. We've had her here in studio for Dancing with the Stars, and she's another one. She reminds me like of Jasmine this year, and it's one of those things where it's just like that star quality. Even when she was in Troop and Dancing with the Stars, my eye. Always went to her. And yeah. She's just that type of dancer. So when you can hold yourself up next to Twitch.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Really amazing.
It's incredible.
All right, we do have a phone call. So we're going to. Yeah, I love it. We're taking
a phone call.
Did we not have a phone call
no.
last time?
Oh. Caller on the line with us, So You Think You Can Dance, After Buzz TV after show.
All right, hello. Hello.
I think it's Vivi.
Is it Vivi?
Is it Vivi?
Vivi. Yeah,
she's usually on Skype, so. All right. Well, if we get Vivi back, we will go and say hello. But she did submit a question, so I'll make sure to ask it to you this week. But let's go into Alexis and Nico doing Sonia Taya contemporary piece. I love this because it was Sonia angst.
Yes.
You know, it was all about the guy that dumps you.
It was Sonia's specialty.
Sonia's specialty. But I literally was like, it's the guy that dumps you. And you're like, wait a minute. What just happened? I'm like, I've dated that guy. So I kind of understood this piece. But I think it was really nice to see a different side of Nico and Alexis. I wish it had come earlier in the season for them.
I thought that I was waiting for them to have a contemporary moment, just like Tucker and Jenna last week. I was like, finally, they have something to really, really go for. It's a little bit too little too late, though.
Yeah, at least for Alexis.
I thought that Nico, he finally has a moment to really shine. And I thought in your piece as well, he finally got his moment
I said to Sonia after we saw the camera block in the morning, I was like, you got a hell of a lot more out of her than I was able to. Mm. You know, they worked really hard, but I couldn't quite tap into to get her to get her performance up. And, you know, she was out of her style and almost so good that you forgot that because she can turn really well. So mm-hmm. I kind of played on those strengths. But this definitely was the emotional kind of that really powerful piece they needed. It just wasn't with the people she was in the bottom with, it just wasn't going to happen for her. But we all said she gets a great piece to go out on.
Yeah, and that's what you want. I mean, I think that she should be really satisfied at least with that ending. I'm sure right now she's still really sad and everything. And I saw an interview today with Nigel, and he was saying, you know, look, we had these three girls that were in the bottom three. We knew that we wanted to save Mackenzie, that hands down. He said, we'll always save Mackenzie. So, I mean, they're really seeing her. Wow. He said that we will always save Mackenzie. And he goes, Jasmine, we love her. So it just was Alexis. This time. I mean, it didn't seem like there was much of a question as to who was going home.
Sometimes you fall into the wrong bottom three.
Mm-hmm. And a few weeks ago, they mentioned that Alexis doesn't take notes well. And since you choreographed her, she would take the note, fix it, and then it would not
forget it.
Forget it there. Yeah. So did you see that?
I Stacey had her the week before and had said that and in the meeting and that we had, and then I had her the next week. And I think it's just it's a maturity thing to be able to hold on to something, because you would get it perfect and then you'd want to move on to something else and then that would fall apart again.
Mm.
Yeah. And so you'd be like, you couldn't ever quite get as far as you wanted to. But, you know, I really liked them both. Mm-hmm. And I actually fought for Alexis that week to be saved that week because she was in the bottom in my piece. I forget who, it was Jasmine who went home that week,
yep.
The other Jasmine.
Mm.
And I did, I fought for her because I thought that she had some more to give. So.
Yeah, and I think you talked a little bit about performance level with her, and I think it's kind of interesting because I always love when she had to go and do a solo to save herself, because I'm like, gosh, she's happy and she's comfortable and she's performing, you feel it. But sometimes in some pieces out of her style, I was a little frustrated. I'm like, you're almost there, but you need a breakthrough, whatever is holding you back.
And that freedom she always, I always find she lacked in some of her performances that she had in her solos, that she's just willing to let it go. And I'm like, please just let it go for the rest of it. It would be amazing.
Sometimes it's just
but
mental.
I do think that she will work a lot in terms of professional work.
She and Curtis both said that they would like to do Newsies. They want to go to New York and do Newsies.
Oh, I would love that.
That's fun. There's a big tap number.
Number. And Curtis is kind of like age range, I think, like really perfect for it.
You know what's funny though? Curtis is more manly in person than you would think. Like on TV, he looks like a little boy.
He looks tiny.
And then in the room, he's like almost 6 feet tall and he's got some.
Whoa,
like,
yeah, like he's really tall.
He's much more manly than you would think, is what I found.
Oh, that's good to know, just because that's what I said. I'm like, he hasn't gotten his man muscles yet, you know? He looks really slight.
Because the week he had the salsa or something with Haley, and to me, they just looked like babies. It looked like a junior competition number for them. Because he was so young and like, but
his
like,
outfit didn't help because it had the bright green, which is so like that competition color for guys. And so, that poor. Yeah, he did. He should have just gone shirtless.
And speaking of Haley and Curtis, we're moving on to their piece with Leonardo and Miriam doing the tango. Of course, we all know Curtis was not able to perform, so she got Leonardo. And I have to say for Haley, if you have to do ballroom, you want to do it with a pro. I mean, this is where you get the Dancing with the Stars experience kind of thing.
Seriously.
And this was a stunning piece, I thought.
This was best of the night for me.
Oh, I mean, like, gorgeous. Her lines were exquisite.
I love the tangos. Like, there's been a couple over the years, and Leonardo and Miriam. Do wonderful ones. They had one with Caitlin a while ago that was stunning, but this would not have been obviously as good without him, but she really pulled up on this. And when she first started dancing with him, not yesterday morning, but on camera block morning, you could tell she was timid. Like, she wasn't ready to get to his level. And I remember thinking in my head, girl, you better pull up because you have this man up there and you better take advantage of this. And
this
by the time
gift.
She got to show night, I was sitting back there just like screaming for her because it was just amazing.
It was incredible. It was so sexy and just controlled.
Classy. It was classy, what I loved.
And her feet in every moment were perfect. Yeah. Oh my God. It was amazing to watch. And I love the Argentine tango. So I was so excited. And I was just so excited to see her with him. But before, when they announced that he would be dancing with her, I was wondering if she was going to be really nervous.
Do you rise to the occasion? And I think that's intimidating because you're also dancing with someone that has so much experience. You're younger. You're dancing with someone that's older. So it's one of those things that you have to get all of that out of your head, take all that crap and throw it out and be like, I'm here to try and win this competition. And this is a great opportunity because I do think that this really allowed Haley to shine in a way that she hasn't been allowed to.
It was the same that like when Malise got Marco that week that Jade went out, that number would not have been as good.
Yep.
And then she really got boosted by that, and Haley had the same thing. But I mean, Leonardo is genius at that, and the way he's like just so calm and amazing up top, and it's just like he could be smoking a cigarette while he does it.
Yeah,
he's casual,
that's what I like. I think it's so much more effective than like some of the younger kids that do it on the show. They think you have to be like ha, 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 with everything, like it's basso. But there was something. It looks so much more, you know, enthralling when it's just like it's just nothing.
And he did. Mm-hmm. He let her shine too. That
yeah,
was
he was. It was like he was a blank slate, and she just was. I mean, she was stunning. The lift where she popped up and then froze, and they did the spotlight.
Whoa. That
gorgeous.
And the splits, the slide down splits.
I loved that one.
I know. So good.
I know.
She's Mr. Calling as a ballroom dancer. I really do think so.
Yeah, she's got the body for it too. I do think that. So we'll have Haley and Nico next week. We'll see how that goes.
So
be kind
excited.
Of interesting.
I know what they get.
So
yeah.
I know. Next up, Mackenzie and Paul. Sonia Taya doing a jazz piece. Now, I have to say, I was kind of amazed to hear that Paul, his first performance was at the age of 18.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, oh, are you one of those guys who just kind of picks up dance and all of a sudden has this career?
18 in Glendale.
I'm so unbelievably glad that Sonia got to use You'll Find a Way by Santa Gold. I went to this convention where she taught a piece of that song, and it was so sick. And I've been waiting and waiting for her to do this song, and she finally did it. And I am so... This number really blew me away. I felt like these two, they're a couple to watch. And I think that they will do well apart as well. Extremely well.
I think they will too. Paul is shocking me every week. Like, I just can't believe how well he's doing. I also can't believe he's like still allowed in the competition in a way because he's a previous winner.
Where it's Armenia, it's like,
it
I mean,
matter.
Come on, it's like, I don't know. I mean, if it was so, you think you can dance Canada, maybe I think it would be like a bigger deal, but.
I don't know what those rules are.
Obviously, it wasn't a problem because they mention it. They throw it out there.
Were you turned off by any of, like, there were a lot of repetitive turning lifts where it was just like he was holding her a lot. I felt there's a lot of repetitive of that. And I read some critiques online being like, we're sick of the repetition all the time in her pieces, and Sonya's pieces. And I was like, get over it. She's amazing.
It didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
She does her really well.
Yeah.
And that's
I'm like,
you can tell it. It is. She certainly has created her style. You can tell a Sonya piece in an instant. And and that was one of the, you know, one of the better ones. And she got two really strong dancers. And, you know, they were, I don't think it stood up to, like, some of her classics, but it was, she's also been, she had three pieces this week. Like,
that's
it's hard to crank out that much. When I had two pieces, like, 2 weeks ago, you're exhausted. I felt like I was, like, drained completely of everything.
Yeah, and you're rehearsing at weird times because you have to fit their schedules, too,
I'm sure. Yeah, you have, the rehearsals this year start at 6 a.m. So you literally are dancing full out at 6 a.m. And when you have two pieces in a row, you're 12 hours without a break as the choreographer. So
oh, my gosh.
And she had three, so it's like, should
yeah, she was back to back to back.
And not that this wasn't great, but, like, you just, I don't think people understand how much it takes out of us as well.
It's grueling. And I think you make a really good point. If you're dancing at 6 a.m., this is when the dancers really need to take care of themselves because, I mean, all of us, even if you jog early in the morning, you know what your body feels like. Yeah. It's cold. It's creaky. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how hot it is outside. You need to warm up.
Yeah.
So this is,
and you only get a couple hours. So you're like, if it's at 6 a.m. till 10 a.m., you better take advantage of that time.
Yeah.
Wow. Better get up at 5, have your coffee, do some neck rolls, and get in that studio.
Get the body one thing I want to say about Mackenzie and Paul, I love that they're playing up their little showmance, which I know is totally for cameras, but it's good.
What? They don't have their nose showmance.
Little showmance. And their little packages they always do. Oh, he's so sexy.
Yeah.
It's just played to the cameras. Oh, that's a whole other story.
Yeah,
but, you know. But what I like about them is that they've gone from just really pretty, because the first few weeks, everything was just like really pretty choreography, and now they're getting a little bit more gritty.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see the two of them in top 10 and who they're paired up with. It's going to be, those two are really going to elevate.
Yeah, and I think that they're one of those sleeper couples, and people keep on going, oh, we're just going to put Mackenzie in the bottom three. I'm like, no.
Not for long.
She's going to get saved. Mm-hmm. Every week he said so. I heard him on Say It On Camera. Nigel said so. Just before we go into some of the other dances, I want to remind everyone that's watching on our podcast, I saw our numbers for podcasts. We got a lot of downloads. I'll give you guys the numbers later, but we appreciate you guys for all of the support and continue to rate and all your comments. And it doesn't allow you to really sort of write feedback afterwards. If you guys, you can also go to YouTube and we'll write comments and Twitter and everything else because we do respond to all of you guys and we really appreciate the support. And if you're looking to download it on iTunes and listen to it on your smartphone, the app is Podcasts with an S and that's how you can listen to us.
Yay.
All right.
And rate us 5 stars.
Five stars. Everyone's 5. All right. Let's move on to the fifth dance of the night, which was Aaron and Jasmine with the Justin Giles contemporary piece. What did you guys think of this whole Giving Tree theme?
I loved it.
First of all, I'm so glad that he's back. I love him. I think he's fantastic.
What did he do before? I didn't know who he was, but
he's been on the show before.
What pieces? I couldn't remember.
Oh, Lord Jesus. That was just
he's in group. We'll look it up. I think he did a group one.
Yes, he did the one with
the flowers. Was it the giant flower one? Wasn't that him?
Remember all the guys in the spotlights? And then they were like in different stages of grief. He did that?
Yeah.
That? It reminded me a lot of the sand piece that was at the beginning of this season. It reminded me of that.
Sorry to sideball. I couldn't remember what he's done before.
Let's see. It looks like Clarice and Jess. What season was that?
He also did Sasha and Alexander, but they did that piano piece. Where
I love that. And he crawls through the piano.
Yes.
I love that one.
That would establish that.
Gosh, that was from season 7? 8?
Yes, Melanie's season.
Sasha was 8.
Yeah, Melanie's season, yeah.
All right, so what do we think of this piece? Because The Giving Tree, I think pretty much everyone has had to read this book at some point in their school career, Shel Silverstein. And so it's a really well-known book and a really well-known theme. I have to say, I didn't love it. I didn't love the choreography, but I loved the performance out of Jasmine and Aaron.
Mm. Yes.
What did you like about the choreography?
I felt like I wanted a little bit more movement out of the two of them. I did like the sort of the quirkiness to it, but when they did that sort of last part in unison, I was like, I was looking for something a little bit more.
Oh, really?
I was expecting it to travel a little bit more, but then the fact that she had to be that grounded tree,
yes.
I kind of got it.
And they had all of that passing back and forth. That is stressful. This is where we start the whole prop section, by the way.
Yeah.
It is the prop theme now.
Guilty as charged.
We're going into props, all right,
I admitted it in my package, at least.
Yeah.
You're turning 20 Shades of Red. We're not. I'm totally fine with props. I wasn't, you know, because it adds another element to a dance that you do have to think about and be prepared to handle. And we do see a little mishap that was handled extremely well. So, but this apple could have gone all over the place, seriously.
You know what, though? In rehearsals, not once did it ever bobble or drop. So
they were
on
zone.
It. I mean,
they're in the zone.
I would have loved to actually see it fall and see them be crushed by the fall. You know what I mean? Like, within the act, within the characters.
Within the actual dance, yeah.
Yeah, within the characters that they played to have the apple fall.
I'm sure the choreographer does not feel the same way.
But you know what? I totally feel the opposite that you do, because my favorite move was he went and touched her knee at one point, and it was just the slightest movement, and it was like, it took my breath away. It was the tiny movements in this piece that I really loved.
Justin Giles, he has such intricate music. Mm-hmm. He really understands the nuances of the music that he chooses, and in class, he's the same way. Like, he is really on top of that. And Jasmine's face, for me, just transforms every time she performs. I don't understand it. She is so young. Like, I feel like she shouldn't be able to understand.
Do you forget that she's 19?
No, I did. And when I had them, I was so excited because I needed some maturity for that piece. I did that ghost piece with them.
Yes.
And
that was great.
I got in the room and I'm like, so are you like 25, 26? She was like, I'm 19. I was like,
what? Baby.
She is a baby.
She's
like,
a baby.
Because Erin is like 23 or 4, I think. But she is a baby and she's gone through some stuff, you can tell. I don't know what it is. But she definitely carries some maturity. When you watch
she's
them,
Cyrus's
like,
ex-girlfriend.
Beyond that, but like,
the drama
you definitely
so you think
feel
dance.
Like you're watching professionals dance or adults dance among some of the children.
We've been saying that week after week, too, that they have a maturity that we don't see in the other couples. And I feel like if they wanted to partner up and like do a whole act, they could totally do it.
And they're really good together and they push each other and like they not bicker, but like you can tell they're like, you got to do this and you got to do this. But like it's very interesting because they are practicing constantly and they're really like they're in it and they understand what they're doing and it's not just like a fun thing. It's not just like a game to them. They understand what they have to do to get by every week.
And it's awesome. It's a gift for Erin because he wasn't supposed to be here. And so I think he appreciates it.
It's a meant to be situation.
You guys, I think Erin's going to win.
No. I don't think he could go far. I don't think he's going to win.
I think he'll be in the
final.
There's
something about him being like this sleeper who's like super cute and likable, and he is a tap. Like he's still a tapper, so everything is out of his genre.
But did you notice like in the bullying piece where he kind of stuck out for me at some point?
Oh, I was watching Fiction.
I genuinely love him, but there were some points where I was just like, I don't know how you're going to fare whenever the two of you are split up.
Yeah. That's true. He might look weird paired up with Melisse or something.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Or like, or Jasmine trying to partner her Fiction.
Actually, if Jasmine partners Fiction, it has to be like a nap and tap.
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
It can't work anything out.
They could do like a cool partnering piece where he like climbs her like a tree.
Oh, wait. We have a whole tree theme. More props. Bring them out.
Oh, poor Jasmine.
I will say that I watched it and I thought that there could have been more movement, but I think the choreographer stuck to his guns of his, that was your concept, and I think that was it, and you have to go with that, and I don't think it was ever said, like, oh, they need to be dancing more, because it was really hard and intricate, and we've all seen them turn and kick and leap, and like,
they can do it.
To put in nonsensical turning jeté to the floor for no reason, it's like, makes me want to gag, so I'm glad he didn't, and, you know,
turning jeté to the floor.
You know what I mean? Like, in the middle of that, like, that's not necessary.
Well, and sometimes people go overboard with Jasmine's legs, and so that's actually a really
I did. I held back. I did because you can just have her do it over and over and over again.
It's gorgeous.
It loses its luster.
But that makes a really good point that Justin had her more grounded too. It is something different that we haven't seen.
When we see all the pieces, it's before you see the packages. Like you don't know what they're about. And like when they're in rehearsal clothes and like I was like, are they like a couple that's apple picking? I don't understand. And then someone was like the Giving Tree. I was like, oh, okay, I got it.
Is this a Wizard of Oz piece? What's happening?
It's always fun. To get like we play guess each other's pieces sometimes because you don't see the package, so you're like all you see is like without any costumes or anything, and you're like, what is this about?
It's a chilly fall day in New England.
Totally,
like,
That's awesome.
Next up to the couple that everyone is after. I feel like everyone's been chasing Amy and Fiction all season long. Christopher Scott doing a hip hop piece and. gosh, I just really enjoyed this piece. It was just kind of fun. It was charming. I get the judges when they're like, okay, we've kind of seen the characters and the cutesiness, but...
I don't care. I want to see it more.
They're just so
fun. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the nice thing is that they do elevate each other as a couple. It's you see the partnership. You see the work. You see that they're another couple that's out there probably rehearsing all the time to really get a cohesive feel.
I think even they're another one that you walk around every corner and they're like going over their dance constantly. But I would say that maybe he's going to fall down without her, but he actually, because we see all their solos in the mornings, they do them. He's incredible. I mean, like, his solo is genius. He blows everybody away. So, like, he brings so much to the table that I think that if the choreographers utilize him in the right way, he will continue to rise. And she will dominate everything she does. Mm-hmm. I mean...
She's phenomenal. And you know what's so interesting, too, because we really saw a season last year where Cyrus just didn't have all of this sort of technique foundation that, you know, that he might have needed. He did make it to the finals, but I feel like Fiction has more technique and is a little bit above Cyrus's
Cyrus?
Level.
Oh, miles.
Yeah,
I had Cyrus last year. Fiction is way, way more.
Because he does martial arts, too, and we've talked about that.
Flexible, he's
super
flexible.
He knows how to, like, point his toe and stuff like that, so you don't see that as much. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, if the finals were today, he's your winner for sure.
I would think so, out of the boys, yeah.
Like, just done.
Are they doing a boy and a girl again this year? Uh-huh. I should know this.
we thought originally that it was one, and then somewhere along the way, it slipped out with Nigel saying it's two. So we were like, oh.
I think I like that version.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so different. And, like, because the boys often get the personality vote, and then the girl gets the, like, technique vote. Last year, it went to the two technical, which I was surprised. But
which was totally surprising.
I was shocked Cyrus didn't win. I mean, blown.
I thought for sure Cyrus was going to win.
I mean, he has essentially won. He's the only one you talk about. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like, that's all anyone's been talking about this season with everybody is, like, Cyrus this, Cyrus that. Oh, they're not like Cyrus. Oh, they're kind of like Cyrus. I mean,
that's what the judges talk
Larry
about.
Larry King, they did. Nigel and Kat Dealy did an interview with Larry King.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry King brought up Cyrus. And you're like, Larry, you don't know anything. Like,
you don't know. Maybe he's at home every night on his TiVo watching the
same thing. Oh, no. Nigel had to, like, explain so many things in this interview. It was hilarious.
And I was like, what?
And then they twerked, and it was great.
But they did the season 9 dance at Dizzy Feet with Twitch and Cyrus again. So
the glass, like, punching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did that piece. So it was nice to see again. But
this one, this Amy and Fiction, I don't actually think... Christopher Scott's my favorite choreographer on the show.
Like, I
idolize him the most and really always appreciate that he brings a concept and a story, and he tells story through dance just like... And that's what I like. I did not like this dance as much as the bellhop dance. I thought that was more entertaining and more fun to watch. I thought that, like, blew me out of the water.
Yeah.
And I am ready to see this couple do something serious or beautiful or, like, a waltz or something, like... Just to kind of mix it up a little bit.
Like the first week.
Time.
Yeah. Like the first week. That they handled that so beautifully. Yeah. I want to see that. I want to see more of that.
We'll see.
Types.
And she's now the only girl that I haven't choreographed on. And I'm like dying.
Are you dying?
Like, wow.
I was asking her.
And they haven't had Broadway yet. So I'm like, come on.
You're like, yes. You gotta get to
I would love to see them do a Broadway. What would you do with them?
I can't say.
You can't. You know
I know exactly what I do with
them. give us a show.
Well, often they
give
make
us a
you.
Clue.
A lot of the times, you have to commit to your number before you know who you have. So,
oh, wow,
and that's like
tough.
And that's why often, like, you might think, why would you do that with them? But we don't have a million choices and options, and it also is like, if there's 5 other ballads in the show that week, and you've said you're going to do an up-tempo and you want to change your mind to do a ballad, like, that the producer won't let you because they have to keep the show balanced.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Wow.
It was interesting. When I talked to Chris on Saturday, he was saying this week was kind of a luxury because they had had the week off for the All-Star game and everything, so they kind of knew what was happening and everything. But, you know, other weeks it's been, I guess it was the week before, but, you know, other weeks you don't find out to the night before, so he's like... I think even Travis was saying, you know, I just have to go in the studio sometimes and just see what they can do and then start piecing it all together, the ideas I have in my head.
The week that I had 2 pieces, that was July 4th. And normally what happens is on Tuesday night after the show, they do the hat pick. They text us all that night on Tuesday and say who we have. And then we have Wednesday off and the dancers have Wednesday off. And then we go into rehearsal on Thursday. But that week, because Thursday was July 4th, we had to go in the studio the next morning. So I also didn't find out that I had 2 pieces until like a day or two before. And then I had to change my concept for one of them the last second. So I basically had 2 brand new pieces, had choreographed a single step, got out of the show on Tuesday night. That was the week I had the library. Sorry number, mm-hmm. got texted who I had, went into a studio, and was there until like 11 p.m.
Oh,
midnight, and then had 7 a.m. camera rehearsal the next morning. And you're just like you have to have stuff. You have to have, because we had no
ideas.
Day off. And you're,
that I was, mean, it's a pressure cooker for it, you guys, yeah. too, as choreographers. Because
that was stressful.
It's literally telling you, be creative, yeah. be different.
Right now.
Right now, and do something we haven't seen yet from you before.
But that day off is usually when I've stopped choreographing anything until I know who I have. I have the idea, a couple little things and thoughts and stuff, but if I choreograph a piece thinking I have Tucker and then I find out that I have Fiction, it's a different piece.
Right.
And I don't like getting stuck in what I thought it should have been, so I just don't do it now until. And I choreograph a lot more in the room now than I used to, and I think it's a better result.
Yep. It seems like some of the other choreographers feel the same way, just because you have different levels and different styles and different techniques. So one thing we should mention is Amy, of course, had her little mishap with the chair, which was a great recovery. I don't think it was all that big a deal, honestly, because she just kind of got up and...
It almost looked choreographed to me.
I actually went back and rewound it because I was like, wait, what exactly happened? You know, and just had to see that moment again. But... You know, that's what you're supposed to do. The show goes on. Dance.
Have you ever fallen on stage? It's like it's a surreal moment because you're up so quick and you're like, you don't understand what happened, and you just like bounce back up.
It's like three counts later that you're like, oh my God, I just fell.
And I was staring at her face and I was like waiting to see it register, and it didn't. She was just like in that, and you know, in her head, she's like, I just fell on TV.
And her little knees were probably like, ooh, yeah.
I would bet half of America missed that until they heard Kat Dealey go, are you okay? And be like, what?
I wish that she wouldn't have even acknowledged it a little bit.
The judges probably would have brought it up, but...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Kat was like, are you okay? Because she knows what the dance looks like. She's seen the run-through and everything. But, again, a great lesson. The show goes on, and so do you. And don't let it ruin the rest of the dance.
I just have to say, I love that this dance was choreographed to Let's Get It On.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea that was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, they start it, and you're like, what? And then it was an awesome hip-hop, and it was a fast hip-hop number to Let's Get It On. That was great.
It was good. It was creative.
He's genius music choices and combos and things.
Yeah, unexpected. I love it when it's unexpected. So, and then the final couple of the night was Melise and Alan doing the salsa with Jonathan Platero from season 5.
I know. I was so excited to see him.
I love seeing, you know, former contestants come back and choreograph.
He's one of my favorite memorable dances with, what was her name? Oh, shoot, I just had it. But they danced to Falling Slowly, and it was gorgeous. I think that was Stacey Tookie's first piece in America from Canada. So, yeah.
And let's just say, God, that was a really hard piece that Jonathan choreographed for
him. Yeah, he came out guns blazing. He was like, I got my shot.
Look at that. Look what I can do.
It was so aggressive, but fun. I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought that Melise... She killed it. I was like, you better get out there and get that little ballroom in. I liked it. It was beautiful.
And it was also a nice piece, I thought, for Alan to, even though it's not his particular style, it was a great way for him to showcase himself as a ballroom dancer.
And like you said, how strong of a partner he is.
Yeah, I mean, Melise is also this big. So, like, she's, like, slightly easy to throw around, and he's much bigger. But, yes, he is. There's another guy that could have done that on the show. It just wouldn't have been the same thing.
Yeah, he must have had some sore shoulders. Oh, I'm like, can't say that.
He was like, picking the whole time.
Even though she's itty-bitty, it's still when you're constantly rehearsing the same movements over and over.
The only thing that I wish from him is that he would connect with the camera more.
Yeah.
I wish that he would take a lesson from Jenna and, like, learn where to connect to the cameras. Because I think he should be able to.
You see him connect to the judges. You see him, because he knows that from ballroom, he's like, at the beginning, he even, like, pointed to them. And you're like, oh, that is so competition ballroom.
That's so Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Jump on the judges' table and dance.
Shake it
money maker for Len.
He has a personality for days in the rehearsal room. Like, he is full out in the rehearsal room.
Really? So, where is it on TV, then?
I don't know. I mean, he is the loudest one in that room. And,
fully,
he was always just, like, so full of it. I'd be like, bring it down a notch. But, so, yeah, I don't know how that doesn't come across, but...
He needs to find, like, the jib that floats down. That's what he needs to find and just connect with it.
Yeah.
And be louder. Can't yell. But it'll be interesting to see, because Nigel made that comment about Melise looking really winded by the end, and then he made the comment again during your piece.
Okay, well, that was totally unfair that they made them. There was no reason that they couldn't have switched the numbers and had hip-hop go last.
Right.
None at all. Because they barely had time to change into my costume. They were like, we were standing by stage. They finally got changed, and we ran out. And that was exhausting, and then my number was hard. So
those numbers were challenging. And I felt like he did Melissa a great disservice for next week when we find out the bottom three.
I did, too.
Yeah. Well, and you know what was, like, really mean is I was thinking they pre-taped your number until you saw Melisse after it, and then they said that, and you were like, wait, they made them do that? That's crazy.
They should have pre-taped our numbers.
I don't know why they didn't.
That would have been so much nicer.
I feel like they normally do pre-tape the big ones.
Because they were scrambling backstage to get the girls changed over, because I had very specific hair things and makeup changes and all that, and they only have so much time. So it would have been lovely to get to do that. But there actually isn't time in the day to do that.
It's so jam-packed, yeah.
And I honestly didn't see her be winded or anything whatsoever. So that, I just didn't like that he did that.
I know. Well, it just makes me think, like, there's an agenda.
She is, to be honest, she is the weakest out of those three girls. And dance-wise, she is. She's the one that will work more. Like, she'll be in Teen Beach Musical 2 or, like, High School Musical 19 commercial or whatever it is. But, like, so that is a given. But
she's the Molly Gray part 2.
If you're talking technical, no, those three girls blow her out of the water. So she wasn't going to look as good in that piece as those girls did anyway. And I really liked working with her, but I'm just being honest. So.
Yeah.
That's good to know, because I don't think we see that as much on camera, because we see so much of her personality taking over and her.
But only the last 2 weeks. I mean, let's go back to before when she was partnered with Jade. I didn't think she was going to last beyond week two or three.
No.
So this has been, I feel like
that's really
when she lost Jade, it was kind of a gift. So.
Yeah.
She got a second life.
She did.
She got a second life. Let's talk about Bonnie Story, also a new choreographer to the show.
Who I love.
The bullying piece. Have you worked with Bonnie before?
I haven't, but remember her daughter was on the show, redheaded girl.
Yes, her daughter, Kelly Baker.
Kelly Baker.
Season 4, made
Look
it to Vegas.
Her audition, absolutely amazing. Unbelievable.
She did not make it to top 20, though.
I know, but her audition was amazing.
And another person out of Utah. Utah just breeds dancers and choreographers.
What the heck?
It's in the water there.
Those
it is. They just drink the magical dance
It's in
potion.
The houses. I remember Chelsea one time was telling me that they used to, it's like there's this one big mansion and it has a ballroom in the house, and that's where they would learn to dance. It was like in this house. It was
Mormons.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Be careful.
But let's get back to Bonnie, where she got Cheap, High School Musical, and 2 and 3. So that's where she's made her mark, which was also filmed in Utah. Okay. What did everyone think of the piece? Who did you notice? Because I felt like a few people stood out.
I mean, in a bad way, Fiction stood out.
Really?
Know? Yeah.
I didn't even notice him.
I didn't really notice him. I was looking at Tucker and Amy the whole time.
Interesting. I was watching Jasmine and Aaron be mean to Amy the whole time.
Jasmine,
I was like, they
look
like they're so
mean to her. It was good. Character.
She
Jasmine
did.
Jasmine
it.
Was great.
Mm-hmm. Actually, though, in the beginning, I was really watching just the piece as a whole and the lighting, because the lighting was casting shadows, and that was incredible. That was just really breathtaking, and I really wished they just sort of filmed the whole dance. Sometimes when it's big group numbers, I just want to see the whole thing, because I really want to see how the choreographer has them moving.
I felt the same way about my piece. I went back. I was like, can we stop going close on this one? I just want wide. Yeah.
Especially with all the cool lifts with the pool sticks. It would have been really cool. And Broadway, too, I think it's nice
Let's
to
see
the
whole
it was choreographed as a proscenium number. And then, you know, certainly a lot of shots are helped by, a lot of things are helped by cool shots, but I would have rather been wide longer for a lot. When I got to go back and watch again, we don't get very much time. You have to kind of make quick decisions. And Nikki, the director, is genius for popping out 10 numbers in a night like that. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
She
that's
sits there and calls
work.
Every single shot. I mean, that's a hard job.
That's really, really hard.
Do you guys get any say? Do the choreographers get any say in certain shots?
Yeah, like I get, like I... The whole beginning of my piece was staged for that Steadicam shot, which I taped with the flip and gave her, and then I have certain ideas. But she's really good at what she does, so I kind of let her come to the table. And then if there's, like, one or two things that you wish is different, you can kind of get those in, but there's no more time. There's not time for more than that to be like, okay, and then this one I need 3 inches farther or this way, and then, like, it just is not worth it.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to get to some of the questions, because we had a lot of fan questions. A lot of questions about choreography, which I think is great, since you're our first choreographer of the season.
Yeah.
We have Anna from Argentina. She said, describe yourself as a choreographer and how you think your dancers describe you as a choreographer.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, me as a choreographer, I think I'm very story-driven. I have to have a character to dance. Other steps just don't come out of me. Or, like, a really strong idea, like pool hall. Like, that wasn't necessarily a story, but I had so much to play on. And I'm athletic, I think, and... I try to be as cool as I can in my movement, and especially for the show, I try to choreograph something that I that people would want to dance in.
Yep.
I think that a lot of, like, most people would have wanted to be in that pool hall number.
Oh, like, heck yeah.
Like, if you could
so
be
fun.
In
oh my
that
God.
Number, you'd be, like, wanted to dance in that number. But, and then I don't know. I think I'm pretty cool with the kids. I'm on the younger side, mm-hmm. so I'm closer to their age, and I still dance and I understand them. And I would hope that they can, that they all, enjoy, obviously, like, enjoy working with me and get, and maybe feel like there's a nice camaraderie between us. I always feel like such a good team with them. I never feel like I'm telling them what to do
yeah.
or, you know, I'm in there with it. And I think I really understand for the show that I'm there to get them votes and to give them a good piece. It's not really about how I want to come off as, like, a choreographer. I'm like, what's going to be the coolest thing that people are going to remember so that you can get votes?
And
I love
win.
Hearing that.
And
I love hearing that. That's
yeah,
funny.
It's really cool. Mm-hmm.
It's a team effort, which is great. Okay, so from Alex, hi, Spencer. I think your choreography is amazing. I want to know what has been your favorite piece you've done for the show and what's the most challenging part of choreographing for the show. I think we've talked a lot about that, the time aspect. Yeah. But what's your favorite piece you've done for the show?
Probably Jailer.
I love that one.
Probably.
And of course, an Emmy that was part of it.
Tied that and then the one I did with Melanie with the mirror. That was another one of my favorites.
Because
I'd wanted to do that for a long time. I fought for 3 seasons to get that number done.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it is really just, it's, you get 5-something hours with them and everything happens so quickly. And like this week, I didn't get Come Together cleared until 6 p.m. the night before rehearsal started. So I had nothing and I was rehearsing for Dizzy Feet and I had no time and so at 6 p.m. I got a call and they said, okay, now you're ready to go. The song's cleared and you just have to go. We don't get weeks and weeks to play and come up with and pre-pro and like you just kind of have to do it and not second guess yourself and, you know,
really have the confidence behind all of
doing. To just, and like if you think about the fact like, oh my God, in a couple days on national TV millions of people are going to watch this dance.
You're like, oh my God.
If you think about that, it'll kill you.
Yeah, so you just got to go and do it. One credit I did not mention, your work on Smash. Hello. Which we all love.
I'm so bummed.
Jonathan Calderon, who literally he calls us or has a question every week and we love him. He said, what was it like getting to work on Smash, which by the way should not have been canceled.
I have to read all
of Jonathan's comments because they're always funny. P.S. I absolutely loved last night's mini group routine and Lindsay and Jacob's shadow routine is one of my all-time favorite routines. Hashtag amazing. Hashtag Team Jack. So the question is, what was it like working on Smash?
That was a really cool experience. The pilot was like a magical experience that you could tell we were going to get picked up. Like you just knew. And then the first season was amazing and being in the room with like Angelica Houston and everyone was like mind-blowing. I'd worked with Megan Hilty in 9 to 5 previously. I absolutely loved her, and Kat McPhee was the hardest worker I've ever seen. And then season 2, I kind of moved out here, so I didn't do a lot of it. And I am sad that the show, I think it was, you know, it's slightly fictional, but it really actually was pretty realistic in terms of what it's like and the workshop process and all that. And I think New York deserved that show. And,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, it was awesome. It employed so many dancers, and Josh Burgos is amazing. And
yeah.
So great to see that. Ovation's running it now, the Ovation Network.
They are. Yep. They are indeed.
Yep. So if you missed
watch
it
if you didn't see it. And I love the music, and Mark Shimmons and Scott wrote Hairspray, which I did, and lots of fun things, and that's why I wanted to use
that
move in the line. The second I saw that on the show, I was like, and that's happening.
You're
on
like,
Save
I'm going to do it.
That's so the one. That was a completely different number 2 days before the show. Totally different. I just changed my concept at the last second.
I love it.
Wow. And like went from one point to the
other. You're like, this is totally where I'm going. From Matt, if you could pick one guy and one girl to book for a Broadway job from this season, I like this question, that's still in the competition. He's got lots of stipulations on this one.
Okay, right.
Still in competition or eliminated. You can be either one. Who would you pick and why? And P.S. loved Please Mr. Jailer from season 8.
Crap. Girl-wise, it would be between Jenna McKenzie. And
yep.
I think it'd be Jenna because she could do anything you wanted to. Not that McKenzie couldn't. I don't know. Oh, God, that's so hard. if it was like a barefoot thing, it would be McKenzie because her feet are ridiculous. But
I know those feet are awesome.
What was the other part of the question? Oh, the boy.
The boy, yep.
Aaron. I think it would be Aaron.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Aaron sticks
because
out.
He could do Broadway.
Yeah. And he has characters.
He could totally do. He's definitely ready. He's got that man.
He's got his man muscles. He can also play older, too.
He can. Yeah. He definitely can. All right. There's a bunch more questions, but I think we answered a lot of them on some of the choreography and the time and everything because we're running out of time, believe it or not. And I want to get to what is happening for next week. Who do you think is going home?
Oh.
Predictions. All right. Jake, I'm going to go to you first.
Oh, you know I hate doing this.
I know. I'm so mean. I pick you first.
Oh, my God. I can't. I don't want to say Malise and Ellen, but that's the only people
Malise
I can
and
choose.
Well, we're getting to a point where good people.
I love her. I love her.
I'm trying to think. If I could call my bottom, I think it would be not even based on things. I think it would be Malise. Unfortunately, I think Jenna. I mean, what other girls?
I know.
I mean, girls, you're kind of really
like,
stuck.
I can't. I really hope Haley after that number isn't going to be, and I really hope Mackenzie isn't again. But and I think if it is Jenna Mackenzie and Malise, it's like by Malise.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this stuff.
No, I mean, it gets to that part of the competition where really good people are going
home. And
they
said it is, and it will happen from here on
out. And all the girls are great.
The girls now, it's really tough. It's just, you can't pick.
I know, it stinks.
And I don't, and then boys, like, maybe Nico again, but he has such a strong fan base. Tucker, maybe for the first time.
Yeah, Tucker's going to be the bottom three, I think.
I'm actually surprised he hasn't been yet.
Yeah. So maybe Tucker and Paul, maybe Aaron, if people didn't get that piece, didn't understand
that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Who do you think?
I think, boys, it's going to be Alan. I think Alan's going home. And I think he's great, but I don't know.
I think if Alan's in the bottom, he's going to go.
Yeah. And then, which I think it might be tough for him to be in the bottom because he was this week.
He was, yeah.
Girls, I really, really hate to say this, but I think Mackenzie.
Hurry up! You know? They're going to just wind up soon.
Yes, I know. I think, I mean, if she's in the bottom, they say they're always going to save her. But I she's been in the bottom so much, that must say something, you know?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say Malise and Alan for sure. One other just quick note, I want to remind everyone that Paula Abdul is coming back for the semis and finals as a judge. So there you go, just so everyone knows.
I'm freaking out. I
know. Spencer, we want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you,
Spencer. Your insight was incredible.
Thank you.
Where everyone can find you.
Oh, Twitter at Spencer Liff and Instagram Spencer Liff, one word, nothing fancy.
And we hope to see you back maybe later in the season.
Totally.
For So You Think You Can Dance. Jake, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jake_Dupree and on Instagram at Jake Dupree.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Chloe West X.
And, of course, Kristen Burt at Kristen Burt. And if you want to see all my dizzy feet photos, they are on my blog, redcarpetcloset.tv. I promise you, AJ will be back in this seat next week. I said that last week, too. But we want to thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate all of your comments. See you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.